You should not make assumptions, okay? You should not make assumptions specifically that what worked in the past is going to work in the future, because we are running into new regulations, right? We're going to run into new customer needs. We're going to run into new processes that need to be put in place. There's going to be new laws. There's going to be new expectations at a customer level, and maybe even at an employee level. There's going to be expectations that you did not run into before. All right. Welcome back to the Food Service Distribution Podcast. I'm your host, David Layton, and today we are asking some questions. Specifically, we're going to ask 8 questions that you want to ask yourself before opening your restaurant. This doesn't just apply to restaurants, even though this is a restaurant and distribution facing podcast. This applies to all businesses, big and small. You're going to want to do an assessment of where you are, where you are coming from, and where you're headed in the next couple of weeks and months before you decide to start telling customers we're open, or we changed this and we're remaining open and this is what we're doing now. So without delaying any more, what's today? The 24th of May, 2020. It's Sunday. I hope everybody is having a marvelous Memorial Day weekend. And hope everybody's getting outside, but not right now. Right now, I hope you're inside watching this YouTube video, or maybe you're out in the garden, headphones in, listening to the podcast version. Either way, let's jump into it. Before I start asking questions, I wanted to give credit where credit is due. I read an article the other day. I posted it on Twitter. I read it again this morning, and I thought I need to ask some questions based off of this article. And that was 10 Ways Food Service Will Change Post-Coronavirus by Jim Sullivan. That's Jim Sullivan of SullyVision.com. He has a lot of articles that are similar to the one that I posted on Twitter. And obviously, it had enough of an impact for me to read it twice and to create a show out of some of the content. Now, the questions aren't the same as what he was asking, but it gave me a good framework to jump into what we're about to dive into right now. So, everybody is well aware that on March 15th, 2020, a lot of businesses, restaurants, small businesses, a lot of industries as a whole kind of came to a halt when the doors were forced closed by the federal government. That was, of course, to try to mitigate the spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus. No matter how you feel about it, whether or not you think we should have stayed open or closed the economy down, closed businesses down earlier, that's irrelevant, because now we are just in the thick of it and we're trying to figure out what the new normal looks like when we get on the other side. So when everything shut down, it took about 40 days for the market cap of publicly traded restaurants to get reduced by about $150 billion. Now, that is just publicly traded. So all independent restaurants, privately owned restaurants, are not even in those figures, those factors. So that's pretty staggering when you think about just how many people that affects, how many people in the United States are affected by restaurant closures, public or private. All right. So some analysts are predicting that as many as 10 to 40% of independent restaurants may not survive this economic downturn that we are in the middle of, that we are still going into right now. And only 1 in 5 independent restaurants can confidently say that they will remain open on the other side of this. That's according to surveys from the James Beard Foundation and the IRC, or the Independent Restaurant Coalition. So you might already be saying, you know, we know this, we've heard this, we get it, there's a problem. What do we do? Well, we ask questions. That's what we do. and know that there are positives that we're going to get out of this, whether that's just taking advantage of market share or taking this as a opportunity to look inward and see if you were doing anything incorrectly prior to this and if you could have changed things to be in a better position right now, right? So the questions that we're going to jump into, they're going to allow you to get a mental framework to power through this thing, to get on the other side of this lockdown, but also it should help you think about how adaptable you are. It should help you think about ways that you can take market share from competitors who are either doing things the same as they always have been, or competitors who have shut down. And if needed, this is a great opportunity to reinvent yourself, whether that's your business model, whether or not that's reducing some items, consolidating items on the menu, coming up with a new marketing campaign. There's a lot of different things that you can do to reinvent yourself. Now is the best time that we've seen in decades, I would say, to do something like that. All right. So last thing that I'll say before we jump in, just a little bit more on the mental framework aspect of this. If you can use this as an opportunity to change your perspective from a growth and pure growth profitability standpoint to more of a resilience standpoint, this is something I talked about in past episodes that Nassim Taleb made popular or really popularized in his book, Anti-Fragile. A lot of people actually talk about this concept. It's good to be adaptable and flexible rather than, you know, being rigid and unable to handle storms as they come. And if you're not flexible, then you're going to snap and break under pressure. So trying to change your perspective, getting a little bit away from full, just all out growth and caring about profitability to finding a comfortable balance between growing profitably, and being resilient when unexpected things happen. What that means is, and we've talked about this in the past too, do you have that three-pronged approach set in place? And that's, of course, the dine-in, the takeout, and the delivery. So if you ran into this situation with the lockdown and you are unable to have people in your dining room, were you scrambling to try and get a Grubhub account or trying to figure out a way to set up takeout? Or did you already have that plan in place? Everybody who's staying in business through this are going to have a plan in place in case something like this ever happens again, in case it happens in the fall or in case it happens 20 years from now. You want to have those accounts set up. You want to have the ability to switch gears and do something that that's a little bit different. It's good to have that in place. Number two, thinking about cash flow, thinking about, are you underwater? Were you underwater going into this? It's always good to have excess cash flow for obvious reasons. Number three, with the, you know, changing your perspective framework, how much debt do you have? How much debt did you have going into this? It's good to be just regularly leveraged or not completely over leveraged or borrowing against you don't own your building, you don't own your equipment, you don't have positive cash flow, so you're taking out loans to keep the doors open. That's not a situation you wanted to be in going into this, and maybe it helps you plant those seeds coming out of it. And number four on the framework is it's okay to, or now is the time to, do a little bit of a balance sheet assessment, kind of looking at where you are on the spectrum from can weather a storm for 90 days to if something happens tomorrow, I'm out of business. And I've talked about this before. That's a key thing that I want to bring to this podcast and to some of these episodes specifically. I want to talk about looking at yourself, at your life, at your restaurant, at your small business through the lens of a value investor. And what that means, if I was to take a look at a company or a stock and see, are these guys doing well? Are they doing well? Are they able to, are they set up properly to grow into the future? And there's three things that I would look at when I'm evaluating a company to see if I believe that to be a strong company into the future, 20, 30 years from now. And it all comes down to the fundamentals. So any value investor would do this. You take a look at the income statement first, and that'll tell you things. It tells a story about the business. It'll give you total revenue, gross profit, operating expenses, which leaves you with net income. The second thing that you would look at is your balance sheet. So, and you can do this as a small business owner. You can look at all of these items that I'm talking through right now and do your own mini value assessment on your own business. And I highly encourage you to do that. All right. So the first thing is the income statement. The second thing to take a look at is the balance sheet. And your balance sheet is going to show assets versus liabilities. And that's how you come up with your total equity. So you take the assets, the things that you own, and you subtract the liabilities or the things that you still owe money on or the things that you are that aren't yours outright. So you take assets minus liabilities, and that shows how much total equity you have in your business. The third thing is a cash flow statement. So are you cash flow positive or negative? That's pretty basic. So basically, you want to be in a position to weather unforeseen events, and taking a look at your financials, those three components, that's going to help you tremendously in valuing yourself and seeing, you know, how long you will be able to last if we run into a situation like we are in today. All right. So before, and I know that was a long introduction, really important stuff, though. I'm glad everybody hung in here. Grab a pencil before I start asking these questions. Grab a pencil, write these down, and think hard about how you're going to answer them. I'm going to run through this, and I'll call it 6 minutes. We'll be done with this. Let's go. Let's get after it. Question number one. This is probably the most important question because it's going to have a different answer depending on who you are and what your objectives are here. What specifically does recovery look like? Okay, so everyone's going to have a different answer to this. This is just a general question. It's the most important question to ask. What specifically does recovery look like to you? If you are in a state that you need permission to open, you haven't started the recovery process. If you are already open and making those changes, or you already made those changes, you are in the recovery process. So where do you need to focus your time and your energy, and how do you identify what recovery is? Just write the question down, think about it. Think about it with your team, with your executives, with your chef, and what does that look like? Get the ball rolling there. All right. Number two, how can we best reconnect with our guests, employees, and vendors? Okay, so how can we best reconnect with our guests, employees, and vendors? And what does that mean? What does it look like? Social media? Are you going to use social media to let people know that you're open? Are you already going to events or attending virtual events within your community? Are you doing any sort of community outreach? Are you doing targeted advertising? Are you using mainstream media, local news, anything like that? So how... start thinking about that. I highly recommend going back to a previous video. I'll throw that in the end of the video or put it in the show notes here on social media for restaurants, different tactics and different methods that you can use to try and attract people to your business through social media. That was one that was really fun to record. You might be able to get a lot out of it, but that's number two. Just think about that. All right. Number three, what do we need more of or less of? Okay, what do we need more of or less of? And that is going to be equipment, labor, cleaning supplies, marketing campaign. Ask yourself the question, think about it. All right, number four, what are all the things that could go wrong with our company? All right, so what are all the things that could go wrong? If you were to open the doors today, what could go wrong? Make a list. You're going to want to make a list, and you're going to want to rank this by priority. What is the most important? And then how are you able to mitigate loss, or how are you able to delegate certain areas to your chef or your executive team or your servers, or if you're not a restaurant, to other people that you work with, to your employees, to your partners. So make that list, rank it by priority, and go through the list and delegate wherever needed. All right. Number five, how specifically is food service distribution and manufacturing likely to change? So how is food service distribution and manufacturing, how is it changing? How is it changing right now? This is something that you will probably want to pull in your distributor. Your distributor is going to have a lot of knowledge on what items they're having a hard time getting, where the breaks in their respective supply chains are, their relationships with vendors and brokers and redistributors, what's happening on farms and at manufacturing plants, what's happening at the processing level. There are all these things that your distributor will know just off the top of their head, I'm sure. So start thinking about how that's changing. Some ideas would probably be, you know, we're seeing things trend towards frozen proteins because the production facilities are having issues with fresh proteins. And that's not in every area. That's just something to think about. Some SKU consolidation. We're not able to get certain SKUs from specific manufacturers. So maybe we used to have three different brands of one item, and now we just have one or two. So SKU consolidation is something to think about. Domestic manufacturing is something to think about. As we are changing the way that the global supply chain, different nodes on the supply chain interact with each other, we probably will bring a lot of manufacturing home to the United States, and that might mean cost is going up on an item. It might mean cost is going down. Those are the things that you need to start thinking about, is what items are we going to have a harder time getting, and what are the alternatives, and just outright where are things changing, how are things changing with our manufacturers. It's important to ask those questions now. All right, number six. This is probably the toughest question to ask, but maybe the most important next to question number one. This is probably the most important thing to ask. And that is, if we went out of business tomorrow, would anyone really miss us? That's going to be a hard one to ask. But if you went out of business tomorrow, would you be missed? And if so, why? It's incredibly important to pinpoint. If you will be missed, why will you be missed? And how do you give your customers more of that? How do you give your vendors more of that, or your employees more of that, right? So if you're not going to be missed, that probably speaks volumes to your opinion of your own business, and also that maybe your market's oversaturated. I know nobody watching this doesn't care about their business. You're here because you're trying to figure out a way to get through this thing and thrive on the other side. So congratulations for being one of the operators who just wants to find solutions and ask the right questions to get through this and to be better. But All right. So if yes, how do we give those things that you would be missed? How do you give that back to your customers? Where are the cracks, right? Where are the cracks? When the lockdown first started, where were the first components to fail? You know, if you didn't have the Grubhub account, or if you didn't have any of the delivery or the takeout figured out, there was the crack. Dining room shuts down and all of a sudden you're out of business or you have to close the doors. That's a problem. So focus on those areas, right? Focus on the areas that if something like this happened again, what was the first area that's going to crack? Where are the single points of failure and how do you fix them? This was something that came specifically from that article that I referenced at the beginning of this that I thought was really cool. There's a question that was asked that was similar to what I just asked, would you be missed? And from the article, Jim had said, which specific elements of our design, throughput, process, facilities, communication, and procedures failed or were the weakest? So those are a couple of points maybe to jot down and think about your design. Think about your throughput, your process, facilities, communication, and procedures, and where did things go wrong, and how do you fix them? All right, number seven. See, we're almost done with this. I've got a couple more minutes before wrapping up here. So, all right, number seven. What have your most successful competitors done? All right, so pre-COVID lockdown and during the lockdown and coming out of it, what have they done? What are they doing? Has it worked? If it has worked, then do that or do some variation of whatever they're doing. It's okay to take a look at what someone's doing and pull that, copy and paste it to your own business. So long as you're not, copying anything specifically or anything exactly, you don't want to rip anybody off, but you want to look at what people are doing to make themselves successful and apply that to your own business. It's an okay thing to do. If it didn't work, start thinking about how you're going to capture their customers or how you're going to take that market share. So if they're doing stuff that works, copy it. If they're doing stuff that doesn't work, how are you geared up to take their customers and bring them over to your business? What were they doing well that you could maybe implement at your own business that would draw them over? Very important question to ask. All right. And number eight. Number eight's kind of a don't ask, do ask duo. So don't ask, how do we get our business back to normal? Right? So do not ask, how do we get this business back to normal? Just get that entire perspective, get that question out of your head, because you're not going back to exactly the same normal. Things will be different. So what you should be asking is, what are your customers' new needs? And what are your employees' new needs? What are your vendors' new needs? What are people's new needs? Not what you think people are going to like. If you're changing things, what do I think they're going to like? It's what do they need, right? So how have the lives of your customers changed? How have the lives of your employees changed? and how will their, what will their new behaviors and perspectives mean for your business? So those are kind of the things to try, start mulling over to try and get an idea of what I mean by, or why I put this question in there. Okay. That's it. Those are the questions. I hope you wrote some down. I hope you have a good idea of, you know, what you're doing. And if you haven't opened yet, you have a start date in mind and you've been talking to your state, you've been talking to your distributor, you've been setting up a plan. And if you haven't, now's the time to do it. So you're not too late, not too late to the party. Start thinking about it, start looking at it. And something that's really key here, just to top this all off, is that you should not make assumptions. Okay. You should not make assumptions specifically that what worked in the past is going to work in the future, because we are running into new regulations, right? We're going to run into new customer needs. We're going to run into new processes that need to be put in place. There's going to be new laws. There's going to be new expectations at a customer level, and maybe even at an employee level. There's going to be expectations that you did not run into before. So, something I can't stress enough, and I always go back here because it's hard not to, but you want to be anti-fragile. All right. So, there's a book called Anti-Fragile. If you haven't read it before, or you don't know any of Nassim Taleb's work, here's one of his books, Black Swan. It's an incredible read. I think Anti-Fragile is the third in this series, but essentially it's, you know, how do you look at yourself and become more flexible and more adaptable? And how do you put yourself in a position where you are able to weather a storm? Think about that. You don't want to be, I mean, the inverse of that would be being fragile, or being, you know, rigid and not willing to change. And if you have too much pressure on you, you're going to break or you're going to snap. So how do you become more adaptable that you can weather the storm? And a very important way to get there, to get to being, as Nassim Taleb would refer to as being anti-fragile, would be to do those financial assessments of yourself. Take a look at your cash flow, take a look at your balance sheet, take a look at your financials, your income statement, and make sure that you are not underwater and that you are positioned nicely to be able to weather storms. You can't have a super aggressive growth strategy without having your defense set in place also, right? So think about it, ask these questions, or answer these questions, I should say, and stay positive. Keep asking tough questions and stay positive through this. So that's it. That's what I got for you. I appreciate you hanging in here through the end. That was 21 minutes, about 5 minutes longer than I wanted it to be, but I appreciate that you made it this far so much. It would help a lot for anybody that enjoys the show, that's getting any value out of this, to hop onto Twitter. My page is at foodservicepod. Follow, interact, ask me questions. If anybody knows someone who would want to come on an interview that knows about food service distribution, supply chain, restaurants, sales, prospecting, all of that, I'm open to having people on the show to discuss. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple or any of those, this is also a YouTube channel. So I'm going to have some, you know, up on the screen here. If you're listening, you can't see, but I have recommended videos. I'm going to have, you know, bullet points. You'll see the questions that I'm asking 1 through 8 written down. And YouTube is kind of a fun, more interactive way of doing these podcasts. So if you're listening, head over to YouTube and just search David Layton FDP for Food Service Distribution Podcast. Subscribe and share this with anybody that might get value out of it. And if you're watching this and you'd rather listen to it and speed it up in 2 times while you're working out or out on a run or whatever you're doing, head over to Spotify, Apple, Anchor, Breaker, anywhere that you can listen to podcasts. I'm there. And just search the Food Service Distribution Podcast. All right. So as always, if you're watching this, I'm going to throw a recommended video right here and you can subscribe over here. All right. Have an incredible afternoon. Get outside. Be well. Thank you. Happy Sunday.